Welcome to Heartline. I'm Rita Schulte, a licensed therapist in the Northern Virginia, D.C. area, and I'm passionate about matters of the heart. I want to check the pulse on your heart by taking a look at some of the cutting-edge issues that are affecting you and the people around you, and have you consider, how in the world is all this mess called life affecting your heart? To help stir things up, we're going to be talking to some of the leading professionals in the Christian counseling and literary industry, as well as hosting discussions with real people who are struggling with real-life issues. If you want to know a little bit about me, check me out at ritaschulte.com. That's S-C-H-U-L-T-E.com, where you can ask questions, find out about my book, listen to other podcasts, or request to be a guest on the show. You can also find me on Facebook at Rita Schulte LPC or follow me on Twitter at Heartline Pod. So let's get going on this journey of the heart. Lori Wildenberg and Becky Danielson are co-founders of 1 Corinthians 13 Parenting. Lori has more than 25 years experience working with children and parents. She's an author, speaker, licensed parent and family educator, a certified teacher, and mother of four. Becky is a Christian wife and mother, as well as a licensed parent and family educator. She has a bachelor's degree in elementary and early childhood education and a master's degree in education. Today, our topic is bullying, a rising problem not only in schools, but also in the workplace. Here's our interview. Lori and Becky, welcome to Heartline.
Thank you so much for having us, Rita.
Lori, start us out by telling us a little bit about 1 Corinthians 13 Parenting.
Sure. Becky and I are the co-founders of 1 Corinthians 13 Parenting, and it is our mission to be able to talk to parents about how to bring Scripture into their parenting, specifically the 1 Corinthians 13 love way, and how love is unconditional and love is an action. And we speak to parents with children, toddlers to young adults, and we bring that 1 Corinthians 13 philosophy and way to love into all of the different ways we approach parenting.
That sounds awesome. Tell us why you wanted to discuss bullying today. Either one of you can take that.
Well, it's National Bully Prevention Month in October, and we just thought that it is such an important topic. And just a few weeks ago, I think we all remember that 12-year-old Florida girl who just committed suicide due to all the bullying that she was experiencing. So this is a really big problem, and it's not the same kind of problem as it was maybe when we were growing up. There might have been one bully picking on one smaller kid. Now we have groups of people bullying one individual.
I know, it's so heart-wrenching. Oh my gosh. Both of you have stories where your kids were targeted. Can you both share about that? Maybe Becky, you can go first.
You know, I think it happens at some point in every family. My youngest son is vertically challenged. That's what he's titled it. He's short for his age. And Rita, he'd get off the bus and kids right off the bat, you know, you shrunk over the summer. And Eric would laugh about it because he came up with his own coping skill, and that he'd make a joke and he'd say, "Yep, I'm fun size." And the kids around him would start to laugh and the bully would start to laugh, and it tapered off because he had a really good comeback for it. And since then he has grown and, you know, moved on. But to have that opportunity to make it turn into a fun instance rather than something that could have been devastating and taking away from the humor worked for him. It doesn't work for all kids, but it did work really well for Eric in this instance.
Lori, how about you? Did you have a story where one of your children were bullied?
Yes, and we didn't have, sadly, a good outcome with that like Becky did. We, our daughter was bullied quite a bit, especially in middle school. That seems to be the worst spot for it. And she was really ostracized from her peer group, and it was beyond teasing. It was cruel things that would happen to her, and so she would end up coming home and talking about it, and I was thankful that she was able to talk to us regarding the situation, because a lot of kids, 60% of the kids, don't even tell their parents because it's kind of embarrassing to them to feel like they're, you know, they're being shunned by their peers or teased or picked on. They don't want their parents to think of them in that way. But the way that we handled it with our daughter was we were able to, and it wasn't really the same. When I was a child, I was more teased. I wouldn't call it bullied. But I shared a story of when I was teased so that she felt like it wasn't so weird to have that happen to her. And then she felt safe in talking with me about her situation, even though it was, hers was way more extreme than mine. But with one of the bullies in particular, I actually was able to say something to that girl. And that in that instance, now this, like Becky said, with the humor, it doesn't always work for everybody. The confrontation doesn't always work with everyone either. But I was able to confront this one girl, and that put really slowed it down. It made a big difference. And so that was really helpful. But first you have to know that it's going on. And like in Becky's case, her son shared that with her. And in our case, our daughter shared it with us, which is really helpful. So if the children at least feel like they can let their parents in on what's going on and that their parents will take it seriously and try to help them through that, that's a big part of being able to help the child that's being bullied, just the awareness of it.
How did your daughter get targeted? I mean, why her? What was the whole point of her?
I think because socially she's not quite, well, she kind of socially struggled. And that made her a target. She's a bigger girl and very, at the time, very tomboyish. And so that really made her a target with the girls.
Right. What is a bully? Let's define what a bully is.
Becky, you want to take that? I do. There are three basic components. There's that imbalance of power. The kids who bully Rita use that power, that perceived power, to control another child or harm another child. And those kids that are on the bullying end of things typically have a really hard time defending themselves. They're not perhaps assertive enough. They haven't experienced this before. They don't know exactly what to do. Also, bullies intend to cause harm. The actions are not done by accident. You know, there's that accidental tripping once in a while and that's not the bullying piece that we're talking about, but the person has a goal to harm that child. And also the repetition piece plays into it. The incidents of bullying aren't just a one-time deal. It's the same thing over and over by the same person. Or like Lori said, it's the group mentality now for bullying. And usually the frequency and the intensity builds.
So the child that's being bullied may be just a sensitive child, a passive child, you know, not a very assertive child. So they're good targets, like your daughter, Lori.
Yeah, like the socially awkward, possibly.
Right.
Ones that don't have a lot of friends, so their power base, in a sense, is less. You know, they are the weaker ones because they don't have a group of friends to come around them and say, hey, knock it off.
Now, where does bullying typically occur? Is it simply in the classroom? I mean, now we've got this whole cyberspace bullying thing, and we can talk about that in a minute.
Yeah.
But where do we see this typically happening?
Well, I think it seems to be where peer groups gather, and that could be either in cyberspace or in actual physical space. But it is definitely wherever peer groups gather.
And talk about cyberbullying, because that's gotten huge, hasn't it?
Oh, it has gotten very huge.
Mm-hmm. It is. It's really tough. The internet can be a blessing and a curse all in one. I think with kids having access to mobile phones and other digital technologies, there's an opportunity for one small comment to spread so quickly that the child being bullied may not even know about it right off the bat. And then the whole world, and it can be one comment, one small comment, one small Snapchat photo, one photo that gets on Instagram, that all of a sudden turns into a really, really devastating situation for a child.
So it's not just spreading lies, but it's also hurtful remarks. I mean, what kinds of things are we talking about that these kids are doing?
I think it's a combination. I think it's the pictures, it's the hurtful remarks, it's the targeted teasing, the targeted name calling, that old sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me. It's a big fat lie. It hurts a lot.
Right.
Yeah. And it's constant. I mean, it's a barrage, and I think it turns into a feeding frenzy, too. One person will post something, and then another one will post something on top of that, and on top of that, and all of a sudden, it's this snowball that's rolling down the mountain so quickly, and it's very difficult to stop.
So these kids can't just turn their phones off or not get on the internet. I mean, can they just avoid it, or do they kind of want to keep looking at what people are saying about them? And that's kind of, they're obsessing about that.
I think one of the best things to do is to get them off of that social media. But like you said, it's like a magnet. It keeps drawing them. So the thing that you can do to help your child is to make sure that the computer is in an area where the, you know, in the general family area, even if it's a personal laptop computer, to keep it in a general area so that the child is not tempted to go onto the internet, or at least is not allowed to. And then as far as the phones, there are, I believe there's some things that you can do to make it so that they can't get onto Facebook or Twitter. But it is hard because they're almost drawn to it. So you have to probably come up with a plan together for it to work. If the parent is the only one that says, okay, just stay off of your computer for a while, or just stay off of your phone for a while until this settles down, I don't think that strategy would work very well. I think you would need to sit down with your child and come up with a list of things that they could do that would be helpful, and somehow gear the conversation to avoiding the internet for the time being. And that, I think, would be a lot more effective than the parent saying, okay, you're not going to do this or that. The child really needs the parent's support and help, and the child actually needs to feel like they're getting their power back. And by claiming their power is by taking an action that they have chosen.
That's great advice. Yeah. So, Lori, for your daughter, okay, say she gets off the internet, she gets off her phone, all of that stuff. She's still got to show up at school. And is it during, like, lunchtime or before school, after school, when these people are physically coming to her and teasing her or saying hurtful things?
I think some of it occurred on the bus and in the hallways, like walking and like bumping into someone, that kind of thing, calling names. It didn't happen in the classroom, but those times that are what you would call transition times or less supervised times, those are the times that are the critical moments. And she and I would talk through, how to handle certain things and what to do. There was a time where I was bringing her to school quite a bit so that we could avoid the bus. And we even talked about her switching schools. And she ended up coming to the conclusion that she would ride this out. But riding it out, it kind of occurred on and off throughout middle school. It was different when she got to high school that kind of behavior really dissipated, at least for her.
So what kind of things do we look for in our kids that give us as parents a clue that they're being bullied? Because as you said, they may not want to tell their parents because they don't want to feel embarrassed or ashamed about, how they're being perceived by their peers. What do you look for in your child?
Typically, there's a change in behavior, Rita. If the child all of a sudden is alone a lot, the child refuses to attend school activities, school events, or doesn't want to go to school, period. They have excessive headaches. They complain of stomach aches, not feeling well, sore throat today, I don't want to go to school. And there's a general withdrawal from friends, from family, from even siblings. You know, they're not feeling very good about themselves at all, so they don't want to be with anybody else, even the ones that love them the most. You can watch for uncharacteristic outbursts of personality changes, tears when it's not really a child that resorts to tears, sullen when they're usually more of a happy child, and a grade drop. So middle school kids, high school kids, their grades start to drop, their interests start to change, their clothing can even change. You know, just big changes that you see in your child is a red flag. Each one of those things is a red flag that there's something wrong. It may not be a bullying incident, but there's something wrong that a parent needs to step in. You know, hey, tell me about school. Tell me what's going on, you know, and ask some really general questions to begin with, but then some really pointed questions to get to the bottom of the change in behavior.
What Becky said is really important to ask. Start out with those general questions if the child is not speaking about this, and then get more specific as you work through those questions. Like maybe a general question could be, have you noticed any bullying in your school? What kinds of kids tend to be targeted? You know, things like that, and then get more and more specific, because that way the child feels a little more comfortable with the conversation.
You've both been in the classroom, correct? I mean, you're teachers.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Have you, either one of you, been eyewitnesses to bullying behavior? And as a teacher, how did you handle it? Becky?
You know, I taught kindergarten and first grade, Rita, and it's more of the tattling, teasing piece rather than the full-blown bullying with younger children. You know, it'll be the snide comment or the trip somebody when they're walking or stand on the unlaced shoelace that's on the ground, that kind of thing. And I always made a point with my students to talk about the difference between tattling and telling and emphasize the kindness. You know, what's the kind way to speak to someone? What's the way that you would like to be treated? You know, and this kind of thing, trying to preempt bullying situations. But when I would see behaviors such that another child would be overly aggressive and hitting and pushing or shoving or something like that, you know, we talk about kind touches. You know, you go through all the steps at school and then intervene with the parents. So, you know, this is what I'm seeing at school. Is there something going on at home? It's generally those kids that are exhibiting bully behaviors are either bullied at home or there's something going on at home or another part of his or her life that is causing them to act out toward their classmates or friends or siblings in that way.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, Becky's really right on with that as far as one of the best ways to deal with bullying is to deal with the bully. And that can be in a general sense of just talking about how to relate interpersonally with other people and talk about skills of how do you deal with your anger and that kind of thing rather than taking it out on somebody else. It's really tough, especially now when there are groups of people bullying, and which, of course, occurs a little more in middle school, groups of people bullying an individual. That individual, there's no way they can stand up for themselves as far as, like, physically and take on a whole crowd of people. They can't do that. But, like, with Becky's suggestion with her son, where he was able to sort of disarm the whole situation by using humor,
right,
that shows a lot of, really, it shows self-esteem for one thing, and that's something that bullies will back off of if they can see that the child is going to be assertive in one way or another, if the victim will assert himself. And definitely, humor is one way to assert yourself, and being able to stand with your head held high and look confident, even if you don't feel confident on the inside, to even practice that at home. Like, what's this going to look like if this group surrounds you? What are you going to do? You stand with your hands to your side, not in your pockets, not folded. You don't look down. You don't look afraid. You look straight at the person who is doing the taunting without seeming aggressive, but confident. Those are some things that can help.
That's great advice. So when do you, as a teacher, go to the next level? I mean, you talk to the students. And again, I think an important thing is different age groups are going to look different with this. Isn't that right? Like for, like you were saying, the little kids may do the teasing, the pushing, whatever. When we get into middle school, I mean, even in the workplace as adults, people are being bullied. So I guess it looks different. When do you take it to the next level as a teacher? When do you go to the parent or the parent of the child who's doing the bullying?
You know, as a teacher and in looking at my own children when they've gone through middle school and now in high school, I think there comes a time when the teacher needs to intervene and just step in and say, you know what, that is not okay. And I think it's also really important, Rita, that the kids are taught at home and it's reinforced in school in that you don't stand and just watch and be a witness to this and not step in. Because generally, if a child is being taunted or teased, and one other kid from the outside, be it part of that group or someone just walking by that group, looks in at what's going on and says, you know what, that's not okay, knock it off.
Yeah.
It can stop. I mean, the situation can de-escalate super quickly. You know, so I think teaching kids to be helpful and kind, not only to not be the bully, but to be a good witness. And when you see this, how can you stop it?
Yeah, exactly.
Like Becky said, there you handle it differently at different levels. And did you happen to see that the news report where the high school football coach in Utah suspended about 80 players on his team after he found out they were cyberbullying a student? And and
good for
how
him.
Awesome! He stood up. And he did something about it, and he went directly to the thing that would bother those students the most, playing football. And they had to work through some things in order to get back on the team. And I believe apology was part of that package. And that's what the bully has got to understand, is what they're lacking is empathy, mm-hmm. and they're lacking the ability to say, I'm sorry. And will you forgive me? And that's what this coach had them do before they were able to get back on the team. And I think that's something that was a really great strategy. And I think at the high school and middle school level, if teachers recognized that this was going on and they implemented these sort of things, I think we'd see a lot less of that.
What do you think's holding the teachers back? Are they afraid of the parents or something?
I think they're busy. I think they've got so many irons in the fire. I think sometimes they don't see it because it generally happens, like Lori said, in those unstructured times, those transitional times when they're not necessarily in the hallway witnessing what's going on. So having teachers in the hall, having, they talk about bus monitors. The bus is a horrible place for kids. Teasing's going on, bullying's going on buses across the nation. You know, having an opportunity to have adults witness what's going on and do something about it, and being equipped to do something about it. You know, they're not maybe equipped to do the prevention and the assessment that they need to do.
When does the parent go to the bully? You did that, Lori. When did you decide that that's what I need to do, is go to the bully and have a talk?
I think because I knew that person pretty well. And I knew the family, so I was able to do that. Now, I don't know that that's always the best thing to do, given the circumstances. I think you really have to pray about that and ask the Lord what direction you are to go with this situation, because I really believe it is different in each case. That could make it worse. You know, that is the thing that, and also talking to your child, do you want me to, that's the first place, do you want me to intervene? Do you want me to step in here? And then respect what they say.
When do you go to the parent of the bully? I mean, is that different than going to the child that's doing the bullying?
I think, once again, it really depends on the circumstances and if you have a relationship with that family.
Okay.
Because that may or may not help. It could be the best thing in the world to do. But often parents have this vision of their children that their kids do no wrong. And so if you don't know the family well, and you go and talk to them and say, hey, because there's a lot of emotion tied up in your child hurting, and so you may not be able to handle it in an unemotional way.
Mm-hmm.
So it might come out offensively, which, you know, you're angry for your child. So you've got to really figure out, how am I going to say this so that I accomplish what I want to accomplish? And the goal is to make the bullying stop, rather than saying, you've got a really rotten kid.
Sure.
So, you know, you have to figure out how you can get there. And I think there's so many things that come into play. Do you know the family? How do they respond? Would you be able to go to that family in a place of humility and speak with them so that your goal is accomplished? There's a lot of factors that you would have to take into play before you go ahead and move on it. But I do believe the first thing is you talk to your child and say, hey, this is something that I would like to do. And a lot of times, even the fact that you want to stand up for your kid, that means so much to that child, whether or not you actually do that. It's an important thing to say anyway.
Yeah, because then they feel like they're not alone in this. You guys, this has been a great time. So informative. You guys are at the top of your game with this, and I love all the suggestions you've made. Tell us again how folks can get a hold of each one of you to maybe get their hands on some other resources or read some of your blogs.
The best way to reach us is through www.1corinthians13parenting.com.
Awesome. Thank you guys so much for being our guests today. It was my pleasure.
Thank you for having us. Thanks, Rita.
Thanks for joining me today. If you have a question or comment, or you'd like to be a guest on Heartline, I'd love to hear from you. You can contact me at ritaschulte.com, on Facebook at Rita Schulte LPC, or Twitter at Heartline Pod. And remember, it's your heart. Keep it alive. Check the pulse.